last week, while talking about the power that we have in prayer, the awesome power that we have in prayer, I briefly talked about, you know, miracles being a sign pointing to people that Jesus is the Christ. And I believe that this is important, and I want to go deeper into this idea, because I believe that because miracles are a sign pointing people to Jesus, that He is the Christ, He is the Son of God, that miracles are still necessary and still needed for today. Some people, and even some Christians, will argue that miracles are no longer necessary for today. You know, they say, they claim that, you know, miracles happened, you know, back in the biblical times, in time of Moses, in time of Jesus. But, you know, because the Bible has been finished, so after, you know, John wrote the book of Revelation, that miracles are no longer necessary. Or some will say that, you know, after the death of John, you know, that miracles cease. Or some might say that, you know, maybe miracles were necessary during the Middle Ages or Dark Ages, you know, because people still believe in those stuff. But, you know, because people are now more enlightened, whatever that means, that you know, in the, you know, 20th century or 21st century, that, you know, we no longer need miracles. But I would argue, if we go back to the main purpose of miracles, that miracles is a sign pointing to others, or to the people, that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God, that because people nowadays still need to know that, the people nowadays still need to know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that miracles are still necessary and still needed, because their purpose have yet to be fulfilled. In fact, I believe in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, that he himself has a high view of miracles, and he believes that indeed miracles are needed for his ministry. So let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll read from verse 1 to verse 5. This is basically the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church that he helped establish, and reminding them of you know, the first time that he came to them, and how it all started. So this is Paul speaking, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So we can see that, you know, the Apostle Paul has a high view of miracles, and he clearly links the miracles, miraculous works, with evangelism. Because in verse 2, he says, you know, "I determined not to know anything among you, not to know anything else, except that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Messiah, and Jesus crucified, that He died for our sins." So the Apostle Paul is saying that miracles are necessary to point people to Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, He is the Messiah, He's the Savior of the world. And in fact, you know, Jesus Himself said so, you know, in John chapter 14, verse 11. This is John 14, verse 11. This is Jesus Himself speaking. He's telling people, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Now, this is the same passage that we used last week when we were talking about the power of prayer. And, you know, in that time, you know, we talk about what are the works. You know, the works basically are the miraculous things that Jesus did to show that He is the Son of God. So what Jesus is saying, that, hey, you know, believe me that I am who I say I am, that you know, God is working through Him. And if you don't believe His words, you know, what He says, at least believe Him for, you know, because you are seeing the miraculous happen in your midst. You're seeing, you know, believe Him for the sake of the works, or believe Him for the sake of the miracles that you see. So Jesus is also linking evangelism with, you know, miracles, that miracles are necessary, and miracles are a sign pointing people to who Jesus is. And, you know, not only is this true in Jesus' own ministry, but this is actually true in or potentially available to all believers. Because if we turn to Mark, the last chapter of Mark, and the last verse of Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Well, actually, let's just read from verse 17 to verse 20, where this is Jesus speaking right before his ascension or his return to God. This is what he said. Actually, let's jump to verse 15. And Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Verse 17. This is Mark 16, verse 17. "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 20. "And they went out," meaning they, meaning the disciples and apostles, those who were there when Jesus went back to heaven. "They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs," meaning that the Lord is working through the apostles, confirming the words that they preach, meaning basically telling the people there that Jesus is the Son of God, with accompanying signs, meaning with accompanying miracles. And later in the book of Acts, we can actually read, we'll go through that, those, and we can see that primary ministry of the apostles are actually signs and wonders, the miracles, the healing of the sick. In fact, Apostle Peter, God was using him so much so that even his shadow was able to heal people. So we can see that through Jesus's own words, and that if you don't believe what I say, at least believe the miracles that I do, and through what the apostle said, Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 verses 1 through 5, that miracles is a sign pointing people to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And this reality is still needed today. This reality did not end when the Bible is completed. This reality did not end when the Apostle John, the last apostle, last of the 12 apostles, died how many years ago. And this reality did not end during the Middle Ages, it did not end when people become quote-unquote enlightened. We still need the fact, we still need to know that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. And one of the best ways to do that is through demonstration of the Spirit and of power, meaning through the miraculous, the healing of the sick, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. All these are signs pointing to a greater truth, to a reality that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, that what Jesus said is true. But in saying this also, there's a great caution that, because throughout the years, for some reason, there's a mistaken form of idolatry going on in terms of the individuals whom God used to heal people or to do the miraculous. What do I mean? Is that sometimes because we see certain people do miraculous things, that we sort of idolize them, we sort of to the point that maybe we start worshiping them or started to put too much honor on them that is unwarranted. Yes, we respect them and we can learn a lot from them, and and I thank God for many of these people whom God uses to work miracles. And in fact, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But there's always that phrase, as I follow Christ, is very, very important, because miracles is a sign pointing people to Christ, not to certain individuals, human beings. In fact, this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. What Paul is saying is that, this is not about me. It's not my power that's able to heal people. It's not my wisdom that's able to convince you to become believers in Jesus, it's not about Paul. You know, he is in much weakness, in fear, and much trembling. Rather, this is about Jesus Christ. And I think this is an idea, or this is a thought that all of us should have in our minds, that, you know, we don't elevate certain individuals to the point that, you know, we started idolizing them or worshiping them, but instead we thank God that, you know, He gives such privileges and such gifts, the you know, gifts of healings to these people in order to show the world that, yes, God loves us, and that, you know, He still heals the people, and, you know, He still heals the blind, He still heals the sick, He still heals the lame, that, you know, it's a sign for us to know that, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So it's very important for us not to elevate certain individuals, but instead we should elevate Jesus Christ. In fact, I know I respect many evangelists, healing evangelists, you know, that who, if you listen to what they say, they always say, you know, it's not about me, you know, I don't have the power to do this, it's about Jesus Christ. And these are the people that, you know, God uses mightily to do miracles. So miracles are still necessary for today, because it's a sign pointing people to Jesus Christ. And we have to be careful not to elevate the individuals whom God uses, but to elevate Jesus. What's even more, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5, where Paul is saying, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, this is a very, very important statement that Paul made, and he's you know, saying that, you know, true Christianity is not just a philosophy. You know, if people believe in certain philosophy and you know, they started having philosophical debates, it doesn't work, you know, because certain, you know, these people just believe whatever he wants to believe, you know, his philosophy, and the other person believes in whatever he wants to believe, and it's, you know, it's philosophy versus philosophy, which doesn't really do much. You know, it just, you know, start arguing and start debating. However, what Paul is saying is that, no, don't, it's not about a philosophical debate, rather it's about an experience. It's about, you know, being able to demonstrate to the world through the signs and wonders, through the miracles, that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. And yes, we need to believe in Him, that He is our Lord and Savior, in order for us to have, you know, our mistakes and our sins cleansed, and in order for us to have a relationship with the you know, pure and holy and loving God. So miracles are important, and because, you know, it forces people to recognize the supernatural. It forces people to recognize that, you know, this is not just a good philosophy. You know, this is not just a good rational, logical argument, but instead it's something that they can experience. Some people call this a power encounter. It's not a philosophy, but it's a power encounter, where, you know, people actually experience the power of God, where people experience the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That is why I love to pray for people, and you know, once again, I just want to have an open invitation that if, you know, any prayer need, just go ahead and email me, and you know, as I read the email, I will pray in agreement with you, you know, praying to God for your needs, you know, praying to God with you for your needs. That, you know, so that, you know, it's not about, you know, how good a person, a preacher can preach, or how, you know, how fancy he can make it, or how you know, how much words that, you know, big words that he can use, but instead it's about the power of God. It's about, you know, people experiencing God, that when we are in need, God is there to help us. When we are sick, the great physician himself, the God himself, stretch out his hands and heal us. You know, when we find ourselves really sad and needed to be comforted, that the Holy Spirit comes and become our comforter, the one who Jesus himself, who experienced all pain and experienced, you know, all the sadness, can come and comfort us because he knows the things that we're going through. So, you know, this is not, Christianity is never about a philosophical debate, but instead it's something that that can be experienced. It's a power encounter where we encounter the power of God, where we encounter the presence of God. And that's how people can get saved. You know, as I've been saying, that, you know, miracles are a sign for people to know that Jesus is the Son of God. Is that how, that's how people will know that Jesus loves them. That's how people will know that, that yes, Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It's because you know, the supernatural hand of God working in their midst, working in their life, then they can experience for themselves that you know, yes, God is real and God exists, because, you know, he healed me, or because he, when I'm in need, he's there, he saved me. In fact, Christians are never actually called by God to try to prove that his existence. You know, we are never called by God to try to prove to the world that God exists. Well, first of all, you know, God can do the proving himself. Second of all, God really doesn't need to prove anything to anyone. But instead, what God, you know, told us to do as Christians is that we should become witnesses to the world. It's not proving to the world, but we are witnesses to the world of how awesome God is, you know, how good he is. And you know, as the world sees us, they will see that, you know, these guys believe in God, and God has been blessing them, that, you know, that God has, that there is love and there's joy and there's peace and there's the fruit of all the fruit of the Spirit within them, that there's something that, you know, different about these people. That's why, you know, that will draw them to want to come to know to this awesome and loving God. And basically, let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is basically what Jesus told his disciples right before he returned to heaven, where he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So Jesus is not telling them, you know, you should go out and prove that I exist, or to prove that I'm the Son of God. Rather, he's saying that, you know, go and just show them, be a witness to them, and be, you know, that what Jesus said is real, what Jesus said is true. And how did the apostles do that? Well, through signs and wonders. If you just go down a few verses, actually, the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 43, this is what it says, that, you know, the church is growing. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostle. So, you know, the apostles, after they heard Jesus telling them to become witnesses, then say, okay, how should we do this? Well, through signs and wonders, through miracles. So miracles are still necessary for today, because people still need to know that Jesus is the God, Son of God. And the best way for them to know that is for them to be able to experience for themselves that, yes, God is alive, God is real, and he is working, and he loves to work in the lives of the people. He loves to bless us, he loves to heal us, he wants to heal us, and he's willing to heal us. Well, having said all these, I just wanted to take the rest of the time just to be able to pray for people. So once again, it's an open invitation. If you have any need, just email me, and as I'm reading it, I will pray in agreement with you. And let's close this time with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for just reminding us that, Lord, that you are still working today, as you did in the days of Moses, as you did in the days of Jesus, as you did, you know, 50, 100 years ago, that, Lord, you still love to work miracles, because miracles show to the world, prove to the world that, Lord, you are who you say you are, that you are a God who loves us, and you are a God who cares about our lives, that when we are sick, we can run to you, and you are our great physician. When we are in need, we can run to you, because, Lord, you are the one who blesses us, who will open up the windows of heaven and bless us with your riches when we are obedient to your word. So, Lord, I'm asking that right now, Lord, for those who are listening to this message, that, Lord, those who are sick, when they cry out to you, Lord, that you will stretch out your hand, your healing hand, and touch them, Lord, and heal them. That those who are in need, Lord, that you will stretch out your hand and show them, Lord, that you are a God who loves them and you are right there with them. And those who needs to be comforted, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will just come upon them and just comfort them and give them peace. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are an awesome God. And Lord, I thank you that you are not just a philosophical idea, but instead you are real. You can be experienced. And Lord, I ask, Lord, for everyone who is listening to this message and praying with me right now, Lord, that they can experience your presence with them every day, every hour. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.